Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey everybody, I just wanted to say welcome to More Than That. This is a podcast where we kind of ask the preacher or speaker on Sunday to just kind of take a few extra minutes to just kind of dive into something that he wishes he had the time to do so. And we just want to remind you that this is not a replacement to being involved in a local church and being there on Sunday and listening to the sermon. This is a supplement to that. So get involved with your local church and get involved with the sermon. So I am here with Pastor Raphael Mgandla, and my name is Tyler Henry. So, Raphael, what would you have gone into for an extra 10 minutes or so if you had the time?
How?
So... So Sunday was a very, I mean, the 10th command is probably like the one that is a lot more power packed in terms of like, because it's really, it captures almost every command. So I think it's the hardest one. So one of the things that like I found myself really wanting to go into more was probably the story in 1 Kings 21, where King Ahab he's a king. He has everything that he needs. And then he, all of a sudden, looks across and he sees a vineyard that he wants. Mm-hmm. So just really kind of to show you how covetousness is so linked to a lot of sins that we commit. So he sees a vineyard that he wants. He tries to offer and to buy. This guy, Naboth, says, hey, listen, this is my inheritance. This is something that, it's my inheritance. I can't sell it. So, and it says that, like, in 1 Kings 21, it says that he goes and he sulks, basically like throws a temper tantrum, and he refuses to even eat.
Wow.
Which is what literally happens when we begin to be, when we're so fixated at something that we want. Mm-hmm. Dude has the whole kingdom, has everything else he could, but he wants that vineyard. So at the end of the day, the wife says, hey, leave it to me. The wife, basically, like, the only way for a man to be killed during that time, it's not a time of war. This is almost kind of almost very close to what David does with Bathsheba. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So he doesn't send him to go get killed. What basically this Jezebel does is that she basically says, finds two false witnesses, and they end up stoning Naboth, and then they take the vineyard. And so when you look through that, you get to see just like almost like a violation of authority. Mm-hmm. King Ahab is not resting in the Lord. He commits idolatry by really fixating on this thing. Mm-hmm. Misuses his authority. False witnesses, like murder, theft of another person's property, mm-hmm. like, and all that stuff. Like, just you're watching all these commands being broken. So I would have spent some time just really kind of just showing how so much more of that is so connected.
Yeah.
You know, it's so connected. And then also just like one of the phrases that captures like what covetousness ends up becoming like, looking like a lot more, is just that phrase. Like, and we never really think about it. If only, mm-hmm. if only I, And then after that, like, just like way at the end of the day, you know, we just like Ahab, like our lives at the end of the day, like, are captured in this vicious cycle of discontentment. That just basically, like, it's, and I want you to kind of think about this, like, where desire is not wrong because God created us with desire. Desire that is uncurbed, desire that is uncontrolled, that is out of control, that's where, just like a wheel is great. Like, it's almost like on the highway. A wheel that is connected to the what, the semi, is great. But if that thing gets loose, it goes and it becomes a wrecking ball to everything. Man, like, that thing can crack your windshield and totally kill as many people as possible, right? Desire that is not connected to the God who made it becomes outrageous, really. That's what we see here in Naboth, where he kind of falls into, like, man, you know, I mean, he had the finer things of life. He could give thanks, and this is one of the things we said even on Sunday, that, like, even gratitude is probably one of the ways to at least starve, to kill, like, to kill covetousness from coming and overwhelming our lives. So he says, if only I had Naboth's vineyard, then I would be happy, right? And we see that. We're in Exodus. We see that the Israelites say that, man, if only we had died, you know, we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, man, we wouldn't be in this desert, in Exodus chapter 16, when they're complaining. If only we had meat to eat, you know. Like, they just always, that's like, at the end of the day, that's where the sin of coveting kind of gets empowered in our lives. So, and so we do that today. If only I had more material possessions, if only I had more, a little bit more money, if only I had a bigger place to live, you know, like, but not realizing that that actually is going to lead us to some other place as well. Like, you know, I'm a lot more guilty of this, and I kind of, like, this kind of punched me in the gut because, you know, I do CrossFit and I work out and stuff. So there's like, you hear me a lot complaining about, man, my weight, and I want to kind of just get to a certain weight and all that.
If only I had one, like, lost one more pound.
Yeah, one more. If only I had this, a different body type, you know, people would like me better. If only I didn't have, so people would say, if only I didn't have this disability. If only, you know, if only I would serve the Lord more actively. But, you know, if only, and then just going a lot more deeper into even ministry. If only, you know, if only people recognize how important I am in this church. If only, and then at the end of the day, man, if only they saw me this way, if only, you know, if only I was married to a husband like this, if only I was like, and what that does is that discontentment robs you of the joy of what you have there. Like, man, like, be grateful for the body you have, Raphael. Great. So, so, which is good. It's, that doesn't mean don't work hard to maintain health, which is good. I'm so grateful that, like, at least I pursue health enough so that, like, now I can chase my children around, which is good.
Yeah.
But there is that inordinate, ungoverned desire, that, like, wheel off the hinges and stuff. And what that does is also it robs you of just gratefulness. It robs you of the moment. It robs you of just being in one place, right? In one place, just to be grateful for where you are and to see how God has been kind. And so that kind of nibs, like, just kind of kills the sin of covetousness. And this is the thing, that sin of, like, if only I just wanting always the next thing, which is actually, like, where we are. We are in this place where somebody wrote it this way. That, like, we are involved in the, we belong to the cult of the next thing.
Yeah.
The next thing. It's dangerously easy to get enlisted. It happens by default, not by choosing the cult, but by failing to resist it. The cult of the next thing is consumerism, cast in religious terms, right? And then this is actually where we kind of get into say more. You deserve more of it. You need new. You need faster, cleaner, brighter, right? And then not only that, like this guy says, basically, like the liturgy to that is like, man, you can charge it. You can have instant credit. You can no down payment, deferred payment. You know, no interest for the next 3 months, and it has its own preachers, right?
Yeah.
This discontentment, covetousness has its own evangelists, its own preachers, evangelists, prophets, approach. You know, which is like its own shrines. Its own preachers, every advert tells you don't have enough. You, man, like, and so you don't have enough. And then it has its own shrines, the malls, the, man, Amazon.com. Literally, like, where literally, like, if you want to daydream about what you don't have enough of, you can go in there and literally indulge on that. And then basically, the cult of this next big thing. The central message is that crave, spend, for the kingdom of stuff is here. That's what this guy basically, like, Mark Buchanan says. Like, he's like, we are involved in this cult of the next thing. Which leads me to, like, the last thing I want to kind of say is Charles Swindoll kind of wrote this poem, and which is really just like, it kind of let me, it made me really think about covetousness and discontentment kind of just robs us of where we are. L listen to this. It was spring, but it was summer I wanted. Right?
I know that feeling.
The warm days and the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall I wanted. The colorful leaves and the cool, dry air, right? It was fall, but it was winter I wanted. The beautiful snow, the joy of the holiday season, right? It was winter, but it was the spring I wanted. The warmth and the blossoming nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood that I wanted, you know, that I wanted. The freedom and the respect that comes with that. I was 20, listen to this, I was 20, but it was 30s that I wanted, right? The free, like, to be mature and to be sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but it was 20 that I wanted. The youth and the free spirit, like, right? Like, it's like, man, I wish I could be young again, right? I was retired, but it was the middle age that I wanted, the presence of mind without limitations. My life was over. I never got what I wanted. Right? Because we're always wanting the next best thing, the biggest thing. It's like we end up coveting even the good things at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm done with that.
That desire might not be a bad thing. I'm in like all these different like Facebook groups and stuff like that just kind of bug me sometimes that I'm involved in them, because they make me think about some menial thing that really has no weight at all, but it's you know, still fun to think about it. And the guy was like using a coin, like a divining coin type of to help make a 50-50 decision. And I couldn't help but think, like, if you are solely focused on the gospel and God, and using your life to please Him, and that is your ultimate goal, then who's to say that the desire that you have for something, like whether it's a Reuben or a burger, like, and you're like, you're kind of tossed up, like me, that'd be an easy pick because it's a burger, but you know, something as simple as that could be very easily, like, yeah, God gave me desire for burgers. And me using that to glorify God, is that 50-50 decision, never, that the desire there just is like, oh, that's a no-brainer. But it also, just as you were talking, made me kind of think a little bit about materialism and our lack of trust in God. And that coveting something of our neighbors, whether it's our neighbor's wife or our neighbor's car, Like, I live in a little bit more of a wealthy section of the town, and there's BMWs all over the place.
Yeah.
I'm like, that BMW looks real nice right now. I wish I had that.
Yeah.
If I had that, then I would get more looks on the street, and it's like, oh, that guy's doing well for himself. But what is that saying? That's saying that I'm more focused on the material thing than I am on trusting God to bless me with what I have. Not really knowing, like, you're looking for the breadth of stuff.
Yeah.
And you're not looking for the depth.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the cool things about being monotheistic. You get really well focused in on one thing. You don't get a breadth like you do with, like, the Romans and the Greeks and stuff like that. You get a really good breadth.
Yeah.
But you don't get that depth that you get with focusing on one God.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that whole idea of, like, if the grass looks greener on the other side, I say it. It's time for you to actually water yours. Like,
yeah.
Like discover what you have. That's our biggest, the temptation to covetousness, the biggest is when we despise who we are and whose we are, what we have in God. All of a sudden, like, it's almost like two children holding ice cream, and then they look at the other one and say, I like yours better than. And then at the end of the day, and that's what we ended up saying on Sunday, that when we covet, we're saying, like, I'm more worthy of this than you. But then we also forget that, like, man, if God wanted me to have that, I would have it. So why don't I have it at this moment? It's because God in his timing hasn't given it to me. Like, and so I need to actually learn how to. I think the biggest temptation that comes with coveting is that we don't know how to wait.
Yeah.
On the Lord. Like, just wait. Wait, and you will see that God, like, that at the end of the day, even with your waiting, it would be worth it a lot more than just going and indulging, right? And that covetousness always whispers and tells you, it zones in and zooms in into the whole sin of, getting you to fixate on something, so that at the end of the day, you forget what you have.
Yeah.
Versus actually what you're wanting to get.
Yeah. And that, it gets really difficult in a fast food society.
Yeah. You, like, forget what you, yeah. So.
Yeah. And it's kind of cool to think about that as well, specifically in terms of food. We live in a fast food society, fast food culture. I love me some Chick-fil-A, but, you know, I can go without it because we don't have one. But what are the biggest holidays in our country or our culture? We got Easter, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. What goes along with all of them? Not just the wait for the next one.
Yeah.
But the food.
Mm-hmm.
The food is always, almost 9 times out of 10, it's home cooked. There's a wait period there, and then you're like, now I can do this. I'm getting good food that's probably going to be, like, pretty decent for me.
Yeah.
Hopefully. But if I go to McDonald's straight down the road, I could get it in 5 minutes and not feel good about myself because it just sits. Like, this is going to give you the energy to continue on and push you into that wait for the next one.
Yeah. So it's important to wait, because when you wait, you end up eating quality versus eating junk.
Quality versus quantity.
That's good. That is good. That's good.
Yeah, it just kind of reminded me, like, you know, since burgers and fast food and all that stuff, like, yeah, it just made me draw lines and pictures and all that stuff. I'm like, yeah, maybe I'm just hungry, but, you know.
You are probably hungry.
My lunch is sitting in front of me, so yeah. But yeah, thank you. Thank you, Raphael, for everything that you do, especially on Sundays. So, you guys, this is More Than That. We hope you have a good week. God bless.
God bless.